definitely human.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
It is the winter of 1926. Dr. Dorothy Taylor has reunited her friends after 5 years to chase the echoes of an evil they thought vanquished. Across the snow-buried American Midwest, our heroes have pursued new enemies in league with old ones, fighting to defend themselves against the brutal violence of the new world while the corpses pile up around them. And as they confront a villain on the train, they tell themselves that there is still some small hope for justice, that maybe things are not always so bad in the Infinite Bad. The Butchers of Goose Lake, Part 5. Howling winds whip snow past the train windows, and the carriages themselves seem to shiver in the cold. Dorothy scrambles for her revolver as Phil Christensen, his eyes wild with desperation, sprints to the end of the carriage. Cornelia lunges after him, her righteous outrage animating her frail frame with sudden energy. As a snowstorm builds, the train's wheels screech a futile protest against the steel tracks, and the carriage jolts from side to side. Christensen has rattled to the far door of the carriage now, and he spins towards his adversaries, his blonde hair lashing across his face.
Stop, sir!
Okay, both of you.
There's nowhere left to run!
So both of you made dexterity checks, but you at disadvantage, Dorothy, as you're pulling out your revolver as you're trying to run.
Oh, dear.
Three
for me as well.
Oh, wow. The train lurches just as you're trying to take a step forward, and you're both bowled towards the side of the carriage again. Phil manages to stay balanced and on his feet, and he enters the carriage, which seems completely dark from your perspective, like 10 feet down, and he slams the door closed behind him.
Well, I go and try and open it.
Okay, so you go and try and open it. You can hear that he's on the other side, like trying to keep it closed. Make a strength check.
Dorothy, help me!
Okay, yeah, and I'm going to add my
10. 8.
Okay, you're both heaving against him, but Dorothy, you're not very strong, and Cornelia, you're quite old. So you're heaving against him, but he manages to keep the door closed, and then you hear the grinding of something scraping across the door, and then you hear his footsteps further down. And make perception checks, guys.
18.
2.
You can hear a tinkling of glass, almost, and then you can hear his footsteps going down the carriage. But you still can't open it, and you assume that he must have, like, slid some sort of bar across it.
Is there any space between the carriages at all? Is there a way to get up onto the roof and over?
Yeah. So there is space between the carriages. You'd need to climb out the window and up onto the roof, though.
I don't feel like possibly you may be the best person to
He's
do
getting
that.
Away, Dorothy! Quick! Let's go! So off I go.
Joy and Sebastian, make perception checks.
16. 19.
Both of you hear faintly, stop, stop.
Oh, God.
That sounds like Cornelia. Come on, let's go. Come on, Sebastian, come on.
I ran down
the carriage. Yeah.
Okay. So, Sebastian and Joy, you dash down the carriage, and as you enter the penultimate carriage where Dorothy and Cornelia are, have you got like one, have you swung one leg out of
and
the
I'm
window trying,
already? I'm already off.
Cornelia, wait!
Good God, woman, what are you doing?
A blast of icy air comes into the carriage. You could see that Cornelia has opened the window and has swung
Phil?
One leg
Where's
out.
Phil?
He's run to the next carriage. There's no way through.
Right, me. Let's go.
Okay,
I follow Cornelia.
Let's go.
Make us an athletics check, Cornelia.
Get yourself killed.
16.
Wow, okay, with a spurt of energy and vigor that belies your age, you hoist yourself up onto the roof.
Holy Mother of God!
You're now standing kind of crouched against the speeding force of the wind on the roof of this train. Anyone who's stepping outside of the window, this is extremely dangerous, okay? Anyone who's stepping outside of the window and trying to climb onto the roof, make an athletics check.
11.
18.
I think I'm going to stay. Honestly. I feel like somebody should cover the door just in case he tries to go back the other way.
It's true,
like,
you don't want like a Benny
Hill
situation.
Yeah.
You got an 11. Mm. Okay, but that's fine because you're dexterous. Okay, all three of you managed to clamber your way onto the roof of this train.
Well, here we are!
Okay, I'm going to run to the end of a carriage.
Yeah.
The far end, and then...
You need to make a jump to the next one.
Very well.
Okay, it's not very far. It's like 3 feet, but make a...
Can't we just lower ourselves down in between the carriages and go through one of the doors? Surely he hasn't locked them both.
Would that work?
Yeah, lower yourself down.
Yeah, I lower myself down. 5.
Okay, so Cornelia, you should have really like lowered yourself to sit and then lowered yourself, but you tried to like jump down entirely. Sebastian and Joy, you get to make dexterity checks to try to catch her.
Come on, Benny. 6.
12.
Okay, Sebastian, you managed to grab onto to Cornelia's hand just as she slips and gives a momentary shriek as she loses her balance and starts falling.
Oh, right in my face!
But you do manage to catch her, and now, Cornelia, you are hanging from Sebastian's hand, but your feet scramble and find purchase
much, Sebastian.
You're quite welcome, man! Okay, so now you are in kind of the interstice between the two carriages.
Yeah.
Sebastian and Joy, you can lower yourselves down without needing to roll because Cornelia can kind of assist you in finding yourself.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Cavendish.
So do you open the door?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Wait, so is there's a door on either side going to either... There's two carriages.
Exactly, yeah. And so you can see that an iron bar has been placed to bar the...
Well, I take off the
you take
bar.
It, and so now Dorothy, you can come through as well. Okay. So you open the door to the final carriage of the train. The train lurches and jumps as you step into the gloom of this rearmost carriage, and immediately your nostrils are assailed by an odd scent. It's sweet and tart, like rotting lemons. As your eyes adjust, you see the light from the carriage behind you glinting on hundreds of glass bottles in front of you. They seem to be stored in large crates packed with wet straw, and their contents are bobbing in synchronization with the movements of a train like miniature ballet. Standing amidst the bottles, bloody knife in hand, is Phil Christensen. His wispy hair is matted against his neck with sweat, and his pale grey eyes swivel wildly across all your faces.
Come on now, Phil.
You are cornered, sir.
We can talk about
this.
Surrender!
A little late, officers!
That's quite an odd thing to say.
He says, no filthy fed is going to take me.
Is the carriage filled with liquor? Can I do like an...
You make an appraisal check, Cornelia, actually. And you make a medicine check, Dorothy. The rest of you can make perception checks, but you're less likely to understand what it is.
18.
14.
12.
11.
Okay. So from what you can see, Cornelia, it... doesn't seem like any kind of liquor, and it doesn't seem like a food stuff. Mm-hmm. The fact that it's packed with wet straw indicates to you that
explosives?
Yes. That whatever this is very likely to be handle with care.
I was about to get out my shotgun.
Put the knife down, sir. You're cornered. There's nowhere else to run.
He looks at each of you and he says, I don't need to save myself. Vinny's going to take care of everything, you'll see.
We're not feds.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, four sleuths figuring things out? You're going to tell me that you're not with the police?
Really, we're just quite nosy people. We just like to figure stuff out.
Amateur sleuths, we just...
Right, exactly, yes, amateur sleuths.
Make a persuasion check, whoever is taking the lead in this. It looks like it's you, Sebastian.
Eight.
He starts laughing, giggling almost, and then he starts speaking. It's a repetitive refrain in a strange language that you can't quite understand. He raises the pistol, though, and he points it at you, Sebastian. I guess you're in front now because you've taken the lead in this negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Would my anthropology check, like, be able to work out the
language? Yes, make an anthropology check. Yeah,
an occult check on that phrase. Mm-hmm. Would that work?
Yeah.
Okay.
9, 11.
From what you can hear, Joy, this doesn't seem like any language that you studied, and in your time at Somerville, you specifically made a point of studying ancient Egyptian, what that might have sounded like, Cantonese dialect, what you might have heard in Hong Kong, to try to make connections with your past experiences. This doesn't really sound like either of them. And Cornelia, this doesn't ring any kind of bell to you either, okay. But the, you know, it sounds cultish, right, and religious, yeah, and strange. Okay, so who's in the back now? I assume it's you, Dorothy.
Yeah.
Right? Someone puts a hand on your shoulder.
Oh, shit.
It's Dick Jennings. He's in his underclothes.
Oh, Dick.
And he says, what's going on in there?
I think I actually try to, like push him away and push him out. I don't feel like he's going to make the situation better.
We don't need his.
Yeah. He's just clowning around trying to get us to invest. I think he... I think I push him out. I think I...
Okay. Make a strength check.
2.
Okay. He says, Phil's the murderer? I knew it. And he starts trying to push past you. And he says, Phil, you hear me? You're trying to get me in trouble here? What are you playing at? At this point, Phil looks at you again, Sebastian. He's pointing this pistol at you, and then he lets it fall to his side, pointing straight towards one of the bottles.
Can I jump at him?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I'd just like to leap on him.
Yeah, make an attack roll.
15.
All right, so you jump on him, and as you jump on him, you can hear the sharp crack of a pistol. The three of you... who are looking at Sebastian leaping almost in slow motion, this hairy bear just like pouncing onto the wispy blonde frame of Phil Christensen. You see a momentary flash that follows the crack of the pistol, and then all the air and sound seems to leave the room. And the last thing you're aware of is the explosion knocks you unconscious as the weightless feeling of being launched backwards by a shockwave, and the sight of the iron frame of the train curling like hair in the wind.
God, we're all dead. That's the end of our adventure. That's it now.
After some time, it is the bitter cold that wakes you up, and you regain consciousness with your teeth already clattering in your mouths from the wintry air. The flames still dance high on the carcass of the ruined train in front of you, and you estimate that you must have been unconscious for no more than a few minutes. All around you is a flurrying dark white, howling, pricking, and biting at your exposed skin. You're not quite sure how, but all four of you have managed to survive, although you've all taken 4 points of damage.
Okay.
Do we even have 4 points of damage?
Yeah, I'm on 1.
Okay.
Can we see any other survivors?
Make perception checks all at disadvantage because there is a really heavy snowstorm right now.
9, 13, 4, 12.
Okay, Cornelia, you can see a figure in the snow.
I want to check everyone else is okay.
Yeah.
I would like to put up my umbrella to stave off the snow.
Yeah.
And then go towards the figure.
Okay. As soon as you unfurl your umbrella, it like cracks under the force of the wind, and make a strength check to hold on to it.
10.
Okay. It flies out of your hands and is almost immediately lost in the blizzard.
Oh, no, I'm so sorry.
Guys. Okay, very well. I just approach the figure.
Okay, it is Dick Jennings. He is in his underclothes. He still has his socks on, and he's got like a white t-shirt and these kind of undergarments. But besides that, he is fully naked, as in very underdressed for this blizzard, basically. He is shivering. You can see his lips are already blue. He looks up at you with just a dazed expression. He's barely conscious.
I would like to take him by the shoulder. Mm-hmm. Mr. Jennings, let's get back to the train. What can we see of the train?
So the train has just been split open like a rib cage of a turkey, basically.
On fire or no?
The rearmost two carriages are like still smoldering and there's still small bits of fire.
Mr. Jennings, let's get you dressed.
Okay, what clothes?
I mean, he has some in his...
Okay, so you're going to head...
You can just, like, pick up his possessions. It's just...
Yeah.
He shouldn't be out like this.
No, yeah. What do the rest of you want to do?
What can I see? Any sign of Phil?
So you start looking around. You can see various dark shapes in the snow. Everyone that you go to, though, is horrifically dead. Just torn into bits from the force of the explosion.
But shrapnel. Who? Because there was nobody else in the back except for us.
The ones in the front seem to have like gone out like through the windows and the crash. They have not survived the crash.
Oh no.
Yeah. So you can see, you can see the two women are definitely dead and Richard's dead.
Okay.
Dick's alive.
Whoever it was Phil? In the... Can we see Phil anywhere? I can't see Phil anywhere.
No, Phil, you can't see at all.
Where is Sebastian? Sebastian's fine?
I'm staggering towards the train. I think there might be some survivors, so I'm going to have a look.
Because there would have been also a driver in the train, or a conductor.
Do you want to head towards the locomotive?
Yeah.
In the locomotive, you can see that it's tipped over on its side. Who's investigating it?
Well, I'm with Dick Jennings.
I'll investigate. Yeah, go for it.
20.
Oh, wow. Okay, you see tracks basically leading off into a forest that's near the left side of the tracks, basically. There is a large, dark, impenetrable-looking forest, and there are tracks that lead straight into it. They're quickly being filled in by the snow.
Footprints?
Yes.
From the
locomotive.
The survivors headed into the woods. Let's go see if they're all right.
It could be Phil.
The tracks.
I ran after you.
Well, then let's go and stop him.
Is Jennings dressed yet?
Yes, he has found some clothes in his carriage.
Okay, let's find the others.
Okay.
Are we sensibly clothed?
No. In the sense, no one is sensibly clothed because this is like a full-on blizzard.
But do we even have our coats?
Yeah. You can get him back into your carriage and get your coats.
Let's grab some trouble. Coats.
Pick up some warm
coats. I fell asleep in my coat, so I probably still got it on.
So you're right. Okay.
So you're kind of disappearing into the woods, and we're desperately grasping our grasping our coats and then following you.
Yeah, all right.
Yep. Okay, so all of you make constitution saves now to resist the sapping effects of the winter air.
16.
3.
4.
11.
So Sebastian and Dorothy, you take one level of exhaustion. So you're going to gain disadvantage in all your rolls until you rest and warm up.
Okay.
Cornelia and Joy, you manage to bundle up and just grit your teeth
together.
Through it.
Yes.
Okay, so once you reach the forest, though, you find it impossible to continue following the tracks clearly, basically. Anyone have survival?
I do.
I do have survival now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Ah, yes. Okay, so make a survival check.
15.
Brilliant. So it's no longer a task of looking at the actual footmarks in the snow, but now you're trying to get by much more slowly, looking at broken branches, snapped twigs, other signs that a person might have passed. In fact, you've done well enough that you can see that it might be more than one person who has passed through here, although it's not exactly clear how many. But you manage to make your way through. You travel for about half an hour like this through this howling wind, and you find your strength quickly waning. Make another constitution save just as you begin to hear wolf howls.
18.
3.
Joy, you get a level of exhaustion now as well.
Okay. That means just I roll a disadvantage?
Yes. Okay. All rolls are disadvantage. So Cornelia, you're the only one who's resisting at this point. The rest of you are all suffering the effects of exhaustion. So Sebastian, you're the only one who's heard howls. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do?
I say, oh no. Folks, there may be wolves.
Wolves?
I think there's wolves, yes. And also, I think I may pass out at any moment.
Let's just hurry then.
Hurry or find somewhere to huddle or hide or something, or I think we might all die.
Is there anything we can see? We're just in a thick forest.
You are in a thick forest. The track continues. Mm-hmm. You can continue following the path.
I feel like we just gotta...
Yeah, we can't go back now.
Okay. You steel yourselves and decide to proceed. However, Cornelia, you look down and you can see that Dick Jennings has slumped to his knees and he doesn't seem responsive.
Mr. Jennings, wake up! Mr. Jennings!
No response.
Mr. Is he still breathing?
Does someone want to take
I'll
a,
have a look at him?
Yep.
About a disadvantage, right? Because I have level of exhaustion. That's a 3.
So you can tell that his breaths are very short and shallow, and he doesn't seem responsive. His lips are completely blue. Mm. His extremities are very cold.
He has hypothermia.
You don't know what means.
Oh. Okay.
So
he is the
Can I lift him up? Put him on my shoulder?
Make a strength check at disadvantage.
8.
So you try to lift him up. Dorothy, you don't even know if that's a good idea anymore. You can't think because you're so cold. Sebastian, you try to lift him up, but you could literally just keeping your own shoulders up is enough effort for you right now. And he kind of slopes off your left shoulder and back into the snow.
It's us or him. I don't know what else we can do. We're all flagging here. I don't know why the silly man came with us.
Around you, the howls of the wolves seem to intensify.
Is there anywhere that we could take shelter here? Like, what are the trees like?
Is there a cave, rock formation, or
something?
The trees are deciduous, so they're denuded of all their foliage at the moment. Mm-hmm. It would take you some time to make some sort of shelter out of it. You could. You have
and
the skills
to
do so.
And then the wolves would get us, so...
I mean, he's an adult that made a decision to follow us. Right.
Wow.
I'm just making sure we didn't encourage him to come with us, did we? At any point.
I didn't even realize he was
with
us. Survivors,
yeah.
I understand why he wouldn't have wanted to stay in a train wreck alone.
No, sure,
you know?
That's true.
Yeah.
Dorothy, I have to say, you are probably the strangest doctor I've ever met in my life. Quite a paradox. I'm gonna try and drag.
Is there nothing we can yes.
I'm gonna try and drag Dick.
Okay, alone, or...?
If someone would like to help me, that would be much appreciated.
But
I'll help.
Yeah.
Yep. You can construct a kind of sledge to make it easier.
Using what, one of our coats?
Well, yeah, or like just some sticks to like literally like a frame to make it easier to drag him.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yeah, we'll construct a sled out of sticks.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Make a survival check.
Can I do that as well? Joy help?
I've also got
survival, yeah. Yeah, go for it. No, you roll at disadvantage.
Oh, sorry.
Everyone rolls at disadvantage.
Except for Cornelia.
3.
Yeah, except for Cornelia.
12.
Okay. So you managed to construct a makeshift sled to carry Dick Jennings in, and you start dragging him along. You're proceeding more slowly now, and you can start to see dark shapes, canine shapes, in the gloom around you.
Okay, well, let's proceed more quickly then.
We do also have our firearms,
yeah.
So
that's true.
Yeah.
Could fire off a warning shot,
yeah.
But you don't want to waste bullets, I guess.
No, that's.
But that's yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I have 1 hit point, so if a wolf gets me, I'm gone. I'm dead.
Okay, you proceed along, and for another 5 minutes, the wolves leave you alone. But then one of the larger ones seems to have picked up Dick Jennings in particular, his scent, and you see that they're kind of getting into a formation where they think that you're protecting Dick Jennings because he's the weakest and that's the one they're targeting now. And so there you find that now they're behind you.
Okay.
And they seem to be approaching, I guess, who's dragging? It's Sebastian and
it's
Joy dragging.
Myself and Sebastian, yeah.
Okay. So you guys are at the front. So they're actually nearer to Cornelia and Dorothy.
Okay, but you've got to go.
Yeah, I'm going to get my revolver out.
Okay.
And I guess at this point, it feels like I should just
try to
take a headshot.
Yeah.
Okay, so take a shot. You can see one that's kind of loitering. Doesn't seem to be aware of firearms, so it's not that cautious.
And a disadvantage, right?
At disadvantage.
3.
Okay. You fire off a shot. The sound is lost almost immediately in the howling wind of the blizzard. But the wolf you shot it at does hear it, and it yelps and scampers back into the snow. You feel like the warning shot at least has bought you a few more minutes before they regroup.
Good.
So you keep on proceeding, and ahead of you, after five more minutes, you begin to see a glow. It looks like the light of a fire. And the trees are starting to thin. Make another constitution check, though.
Yes, walk into the light.
At disadvantage, or...?
No, this constitution check is not at disadvantage.
Okay.
Yeah.
5.
18.
6.
17.
Okay, so Cornelia, you take a level of exhaustion.
Okay.
And Joy, you are on your second level of exhaustion now.
What does that mean?
Basically, you can only take half actions. You can either move or you can do an action, but you can't do both in one round. Like, you are seriously, if you get to the third level of exhaustion, then basically you can't move on your own strength.
Fine.
You are now walking towards the light. You can't hear or see the wolves around you anymore. All you can hear is this kind of dragging crunch of you dragging Jennings's body in the frame behind you. Do you step out of the woods towards the glow that you see in front of you?
I think we have to.
We've got to. We don't have a choice.
Our heroes step out of the darkness into a halo of light. A campfire is burning brightly, warmly, but as their eyes adjust, they see a grisly sight. Glistening entrails steaming in the snow, throats torn into wet strips that hang from beneath pale faces, and deep crimson pools of blood reflecting the flickering fire. In their fractured state, our heroes can't comprehend the scene. This massacre seems senseless and impossible to parse. But amid the crackle of the fire and the forest-dampened rush of the snowstorm, one sound cuts unmistakably through. The sound of a crying child alone among the corpses. You've been listening to The Butchers of Goose Lake, written by Giorgio Mariani and produced and edited by David Knight and Tom Dalling, with music by Jonathan Day. Starring Eleanor Kohler as Dorothy Taylor, Maximilian John as Cornelia Cavendish, David Knight as Sebastian St. Battenberg, and Charlie May as Joy Dutton Cavendish. I am Giorgio Mariani, Game Master. You can follow us on Twitter at The Infinite Bad and support the production of this series on Patreon. That's patreon.com/definitelyhuman. The Infinite Bad is a Definitely Human production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.